Call 021-446-0567.
I'm delighted to have Angelo D'Ambrosio back. I'm sorry, I had to say it. He is, of course, Mr. DIY himself from IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Something a little different to start us off this year. We thought, let's talk about those of you who might be starting the new year thinking of a new home. It is a buyer's market right now, so quite a few people are doing that. And we thought we'd start with some advice on what to look at, things to consider, things to look at closely if you are buying a home or maybe looking at a rental unit you're thinking of contracting to. Just thinking about what you need to be aware of, what work might need to be done, the big concerns you need to think about. And you know, it's a tough one. We're not all, I mean, we're laymen. You don't always know what to look for.
Sure.
But there are some obvious things that you, that even the layperson might be able
to
spot.
Sure, absolutely. And, yeah. You know, one has to keep in mind, this is probably the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a house and it's costing you 3 million rand and you're so emotional because it's the perfect house.
And you love the water
feature. You love the water feature and the colors are great. And the next thing you do, you move in and suddenly you have to spend a whole heap of money because there's no insulation or the woodwork is rotten or, and those are things that you tend to miss the first time around. So first things, always go back. On the second time or the third time, you tend to look at things with a different eye. So that's vitally important. Okay. I never ever just go in and look. I always go back because, you know, oh, suddenly the room's much smaller than what I thought, or I never saw that before.
And go at a different time of day when the light's in a different place and the coldness and warmth of the house are affected, it's all different.
And you know, when you're going to spend so much money, you've got to look at something and be really comfortable with it. Okay. And it leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you have to suddenly spend a lot of money. And a lot of these things come with waterproofing, with roof leaks, etc. Mm-hmm. and so forth. So I always say that on your second trip, rather go with an open mind and start looking at things. So you need to sort of have a priority list if you wanted to, which would be things like, what sort of roof have you got? Is it metal? Are they slate tiles? Is it old asbestos? What sort of roof? Okay. If you can see the roof from the bottom, have a good look at it. See if there's anything loose. If the metal's rusted. Has the coating faded? You know, you can generally see when the coating is faded because those type of things are big areas and they cost a lot of money. Okay. The next thing is, what's your security like? For example, is the house secure enough for you? Is there a boundary wall? Has it got electric fence? Are there burglar bars or are there the clear bars? Do the locks work? Do all the windows have locks? Do the windows have alarms? Is there an existing alarm system? So these are type of things that one has to look at because, you know, even if you don't have an alarm and you want to put one in or you take over someone's alarm system, you know, these are all costs that one has to take into account. So these are all type of things that people need to look at. So I think the first thing is, what are your priority items? Okay. Now you've walked in the second time. We're having a look and I would say the first thing you do, always work from the top down and look at the ceiling. Are there any brown marks on the ceiling? If they are, it could mean that there's water coming in somewhere. It could mean the roof is problematic. It could mean the gut water is backfilling coming up through the gutter system. So that's a big one because you'd have to get someone in to fix it unless you are a DIY person and can identify the problem and fix it. So keep that in mind. You know, look at that.
Really important because you're not going to only have to fix the mark on the ceiling, but the root cause in the roof cause, as it were. So there's a double job to be done.
Sure. And let's say, for example, the roof sheets are rusty. Water gets through. It's affected the trusser, which is the support system, and it's gone through and affected the ceiling boards. So it's not just painting ceiling boards. You might have to replace the ceiling board. Mm-hmm. You might have to fix or replace roof sheets. You know, isolation. There's a lot of items that one has to keep keep in the back of your mind when you're looking at that. But that's a costly thing. And I think the priority items would be your costly things. Then, are there any structural cracks? Okay. So houses have cracks, yes, but wider cracks and specifically cracks when you look at one side or the other, it's wider than the other. So if you're looking at a crack and on the top is wider than the bottom, it generally means it's more than likely structural and that part of the wall is moving. Okay.
Okay.
And then you start asking yourself different sort of questions. But if you see that, I think you should then, if you're really serious about buying the house, get someone in to have a look at it and say, yes, that's a structural crack, or no, it's not a structural crack. It can be fixed.
It's fixable with some polyfill, sure, and a paintbrush, or it's a major structural rebuild
of section.
Yeah.
So that's a very important thing, because cracks could mean foundation problems. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So there's a lot of things like that. So then you start to look at woodwork. Let's say you've got wooden windows. Now, who of us go around and look at the windows and say, oh, okay, it's actually rotten on the outside. Never knew that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you would either then have to get a carpenter, who A, are hard to find these days, and B, are very expensive, and you'd have to do work to fix that section.
Restore the wood, yeah.
Or you're having to replace. Again, costly. So little things that you can do that could save you money in the long term. And I think it's vitally important. So these are urgent items or priority items. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think rising damp is a big one, because you've got to learn, okay, rising damp, am I going to spend a huge amount of money trying to fix it, or am I going to spend money on a yearly basis trying to fix it? Okay. So something like that. If you've got a shower, go to the other side of the shower wall and see if there's any water damage on that wall. Because that could mean your shower is leaking. If your shower is leaking, it's not a simple repair. It might mean chopping up the shower and the tiles and the waterproofing and the slab and redoing it all again. I mean, the base. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things to it that one would have to look at.
I'm glad you mentioned the damp, because we've actually got a question through on exactly this issue from somebody on the WhatsApp line saying, I think I have a damp problem. I have a wooden floor. The floor's gone. Also, the paint on the wall is flaking. How can I solve the problem? I'm not sure what they mean, but the floor's gone. I mean, I assume they mean giving way,
From what they're saying, yeah. I'm assuming it's an old wooden structure, and it generally has some support or beams underneath. And those beams tend to go if it gets very damp and moldy.
Right.
And if that goes, then it's normally on the edges, and the wood tends to bow every time you walk, and you get this creaky noise.
Yes.
Like a horror movie. Okay. So you have to find out what's causing the problem. And generally those type of problems come from the outside working the way in, and it affects the edges of the wood, which then it rots and it moves on. And if you keep leaving, it's just going to crumble. So there are ways of doing it. And if it's showing up on the wall as well, it could be a sign of rising damp.
Okay.
Okay. Now there are ways of fixing that. It is going to take someone with a bit of skill and someone with a bit of know-how, because removing wood and trying to reinstate wood afterwards can be kind of difficult. Mm-hmm. You have to mark the wood and it never fits properly.
Never ends up as it should, yeah.
Okay. Or you need to get new wood. And then you need to know what to do around the beams, how you need to support the beams, etc. So there's quite a lot going that happens around that. But it's a good question. You need to look at those things, because if it's doing that, that's a costly repair.
Okay.
Okay.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management, chatting to us about some of the big issues to keep your eyes wide open for if you're in the market thinking of buying a house, or perhaps thinking of contracting into a long-term rental lease. Some of the stuff you should be checking through with the emotions set aside. You may love the house, think it ticks all your boxes, you love the view, and feel it's the perfect space for your family. But if on top of the 3 million you spend on the house, you're going to have to spend another 500,000 rand on repairs, it's going to vastly change your feelings about
that
house.
100%.
Quite promptly, yeah. And of course, also, this might be something you want to factor into the offer you make, Angela,
100%.
That if there's going to be 200,000 rand's worth of wall repairs to be done, you say to them, well, you're asking 3, I'm offering 2.8 because I'm going to have to spend the other 2 fixing the house.
100%. I think it's fair. You know, that's, people don't maintain. There's a consequence to not maintaining. So that's vitally important. I think having an estimate of what these things are going to cost you, so that you can make a counter offer to that. Another trick that people do, and I find this quite, I've seen it a lot, is people paint before they put their house on show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why has this happened? They hide marks, they hide damp marks, etc. and so forth. So If you go into a house that's been newly painted, please, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but if you go into a house that's newly painted and then it's on the market, take a closer look at the area just above the floor, just above the skirting, because generally there are telltale signs that the paint has been scraped off and that people have overcoated it. And if the paint has been scraped off, it's generally a waterproofing issue around those areas. So that will give you an idea of something that's coming, because it's, again, you look at a house, you go, oh, it's perfect, it's my house. And 4 months later, you go, oops.
My house that leaks everywhere. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, as you said, not everyone paints with that intention. I know a lot of people simply want to freshen up the place to make it look as attractive as possible to potential buyers, but you need to be aware that some people are doing it to try and hide a latent defect
of
some kind.
It is. Correct. 100% correct.
Okay.
You can also
ask them, when was the house repainted? And ask questions. When did you last have the roof replaced or worked on? You're totally within your rights to ask that other people.
100%. And you know what? If the roof was replaced or the roof was painted or the house was painted or work was done, ask for the paperwork. Is there a warranty or a guarantee? Is it transferable? Okay. So you want to know that X replaced my roof and the warranty has been made out to Mr. Smith. But now you, Mr. Paul or Mrs. Paul, and is the warranty transferable?
They're going to honor it.
Those are the type of things you need to ask. I mean, it's vitally important, especially with new roofs, and look at the specifications. Ask for the specifications, because sometimes people come and they just paint. To do a proper job means you're repairing and you're doing remedial work, etc. and so forth. So ask those questions. That it's so important, because it's going to save you money in the long run.
The one thing we haven't spoken about is checking for beetle marks. And John is asking, John is obviously relocated to the Cape from Gauteng, where he said when he bought his last house, they had to have borer beetle certification. He's wondering, is that necessary here in the Cape?
Yes, it is part of it.
Okay.
You should get an electrical COC. You should get borer beetle certificates, et cetera, and so forth. That should all come. So that's, as far as I remember, the onus is on the existing owner to get that sorted out.
So the electrical certificate, the borer beetle certificate.
And I think there's another one. I think it's plumbing. I can't remember. Okay. I speak under correction there.
Off, yeah. Okay. We've been talking a lot about houses, but what about those who are buying into a complex, buying a flat, for example, or a townhouse in a complex? Any additional things you mentioned there?
There's a lot more to that, because if you're buying a flat, okay, there's common property, which means you as an owner are liable for certain portion of the cost. So if I was buying a flat, I would ask the estate agent to get the following information. A, are there any special levies in place? Okay. Because a special levy can be
very expensive.
50, 60, 100 grand, depending on the quality of work. Okay. Or the amount of work or type of work that needs to be done. So vitally important, I think. Yeah. Access. Does it meet your access needs? Parking. All these type of things are vitally important. If you've got two cars and you're buying a flat and you've got one parking bay and you have to park outside on the street and you've got to walk, what's security like? Questions. All these type of questions that you ask, the hard questions up front, will give you peace of mind later.
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important.
So, interesting one here from Tom in Plumstead, who has a shared vibrocrete wall between his home and the neighbor's home. He says it's their wall, but it's been leaning over into our property for quite some time. They've now put the house on the market, and I want to know, is it their job to fix it or mine to be part of it? Basically, he's wondering what happens when they sell that property. Is there any requirement for him to do something about
it? Well, okay. So, if you know for a fact it's their wall, then you need to bring it to their attention that the wall needs to be repaired. And I would do that sooner than later and make it official. Everything you should do officially, officially in writing. Okay. If it's a shared wall, then people need to be, you've got a certain amount of responsibility and so do they. Okay. But essentially it's their wall from what Tom said, it's their wall falling over
into his
property. So it would be for them to take care of it. Okay. Leaning over. But he has to be 100% sure of it. Could have been a, could have been the two neighbors before were great mates and they decided to split to the cost.
Jointly build a wall between them and then it's co-owned. Okay. Yeah. And then you've got to hope that the people who move in next door are going to remain on good terms with
you. Sure. You know, that's, I mean, that's a great way to create enemies.
From day one. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the new home. Please fix your wall.
Yeah. They're not going to like you.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Sure. So, okay. Thank you to the listener who called in saying the third certificate is the gas certificate. Is gas in the home. Sure. Thank you so much for reminding us of that. The time has flown, Angelo. Thanks. You've given some really, really valuable pointers here. And for those of you who are in the market as we speak, please keep what Angelo has said in mind and remember that you do have the right to ask these questions and that the estate agents showing you around the place are obliged to reveal defects and to be honest about the things that you're asking about, Angelo. I think also important.
I'm going to draw up a little like a checklist for people that I'm busy with, but still going to take some time. But at some point, that checklist will be available
pop it up on the website or something. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Lovely to have you back with us again.
That's great to be here.
We will chat again next month.